a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Joe and Sean here with you for the next hour before the Killer Bees take over. Yes, they're back. Yes, they have the normal show. The normal lineup has returned, except for Paul. He'll be back on Monday, assuming he gets back from Mexico. But the final four teams of the college football playoff are set after Notre Dame took down Georgia yesterday, 23-10. So we've got Notre Dame, Penn State, and Ohio State, and Texas playing in the first round of the playoffs. Obviously, like Sean, like we look at what it's been. If it was the BCS, none of these teams would have been in the BCS.
Yeah, Oregon, Georgia.
If it was the college football playoff, the 4-team playoff, none of these teams have been in the 4-team playoff.
I think it would have been.
I think so, too.
Because it's the 5-6-7 seed, and Arizona State and Boise were definitely not making the 4-team playoff.
Yeah, people are doing it based off seeding. I also think Penn State drops out of the top four.
See, I think Texas drops out.
I think they both do. I think it would have been Georgia.
I think Georgia, Oregon 1, Georgia 2, Notre Dame 3.
Yeah, and then 4. It might have been Ohio State, honestly, because of the Penn State.
Ohio State, Texas, Penn State. That would have been the debate.
Yeah. But, like, so if you go off the rankings, none of the four, obviously. But so all four teams that had a bye lost. The top four seeds lost. So, like, everyone's like trying to build these narratives since the first game, Notre Dame, Indiana. Like, it started with Indiana doesn't belong. Look at their strength of schedule. Well, if you look at the final scores, which I don't think tell the whole picture, obviously, Notre Dame beat Indiana by less than they beat Georgia. Like, every narrative that people are trying to build has almost been like, can be so easily disputed. The Alabama, Ole Miss, South Carolina, only Ole Miss won their bowl game. They're the only one that, you know, took care of business in the bowl game. Frankly, I think Boise State and Arizona State, like, they played really good games. Obviously, Arizona State went to overtime. I think Boise State was in that game for the most part. They had two missed field goals. They had a bad red zone turnover. Like, they were in that thing.
Boise State-Penn State was the best game of the college football playoff for less than 12 hours. and then a better one kicked off.
Yeah.
Or actually more than 12 hours, but less than a full day, and then the next one was better. But that I think it does get undersold how in it Boise State was in that with Penn State.
I don't know. And Jeremy called this, I think rightfully so, he called me on this yesterday. But, like, you know, last week going into the games, I said, you know, before the Christmas, I said, like, I don't need to, like, I think they should change the seeding format. It should just be the top four teams. But honestly, now after watching it play out, I think I'm good with the way that this all shook out. You know, I don't think that they need to make a drastic change after just 1 year, because you don't really know what the sample size is. To assume that these teams that have buys are all going to lose in the first round that they play in, I think it's totally illogical to think that way. The only thing I would really be pro changing right now would be going to what the NFL does, and that's just a reseeding format. That if you're going to advance in rounds, like, you can reseed based on how things go, but that wouldn't even have mattered this year. So I don't think they need to change anything. And then definitely the report's out, because if you don't know, they have to unanimously decide that they're going to unanimously vote on these things to pass changes after only a year. There's no way that's happening. Like, there's no way. The SEC and Big Ten can threaten of, like, hey, we'll just leave. I don't think anyone actually buys that. Like they would just, they'll actually just leave. At least not right now.
Not in 1 year.
Yeah. I don't think anything's going to change next year.
And the real change that would, like, I guess the easiest change would have been that the top five conference winners are automatically in, but the top four seeds, the four byes, are not automatically conference championship game winners. So that in that scenario, I think the top four in the rankings were the two SEC and Big Ten team winners, and then the two Big Ten SEC conference losers. So it would have been, in some order, Oregon, Georgia, I guess Texas, Penn State, because they're 5 and 6.
Yeah, so I...
So that's the one that I can, like, that's an easy one to do. I don't know if the Pac-12, or not Pac-12, they don't get a seat here. I don't know if the Big 12 commissioner or the ACC or the Group of Five or any of those would vote to approve that just because you're just like, okay, so we won't get a bye next year? Thanks.
Well, but also, like, the argument against the bye, Arizona State and Boise State acquitted themselves of playing good. Like
yeah.
They showed up. Like, they proved themselves. Really, the biggest, the only team that, like, of the 12 teams that have played so far that I look at and go, the committee made a really big mistake, was SMU. SMU should not have been in. Like, they were towards the back end already in terms of seeding. They lost their conference championship game. That should have put them out. But they wanted to keep the value of these games. I think that's the mistake that the committee made. I also don't. People have to remember, and like I forget this all the time too, and that's what like is so weird about even some of these conversations, is the fact that the committee changes every single year. So there's no like the way that this committee protected the conference championship games, there's no guarantee that they're going to do the same thing next year. There's no guarantee that they're going to put Boise State as one of the top four seeds. They might just auto put, you know, one of the better conference champions because of resume in front of them. Like, it's just totally different.
And that is part of the, like, shock value of Arizona State, Boise State being the 3 and 4 seeds. A lot of that is that the ACC winner was 9 and 3 Clemson and wasn't the team that was expected to win it the entire season, mm-hmm. Miami. Like, if it's Miami in there, and then I guess it would have been Boise State, would have been the 4, they're yeah. the 3. Like, that looks more like what you would expect this format to look like. Maybe even, you know, a Big 12 team in there. If it's Arizona State, then no, I don't think anyone's really blinking twice at having the automatic qualifiers for conference champions. And that combined with the fact that it's probably only going to be 1 year under this format, I agree that I think, like, inertia just kind of keeps it from happening.
Yeah, and then I still don't even know like what the big change is, because if part of the argument is that the buys aren't good for these teams, then why are they going to 14? Then they just go to 16.
Yeah,
honestly, I kind of think that's where we're headed. I think they're going to jump from 12 to 16. I don't think they're going to do 14.
After next year.
Yeah.
Basically, for people that know, they have the TV deal rights for a 12-team playoff already locked in for this playoff that's halfway over,
yeah,
and the next year's playoff.
Yeah.
They don't have anything for the 26th season onward, so that's why they can make more sweeping changes to how many teams are in, how many games there are going forward after next year.
I think they're going to be big changes. I think there's a change that if they go to 14 or 16, I think we're going to get the rebranding of the college football playoff. I think we're going to have a Fox division and an ESPN division. I
don't know if they'll just do division. Like,
no, but like side of the conference, like of the playoff.
Like they'll just do, this is the SEC part and this is the, I don't.
No, just like half this, like it doesn't matter if you're SEC, Big Ten, Notre Dame, whatever, like half the college football playoff games are going to air on Fox.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what they yeah. should do. I mean, look at every other playoff.
Like, yeah.
They're on no one broadcaster owns yeah. the entire playoffs for any other sport. So
yeah, the only one is, and what, they added TNT this year and Peacock, was that it? Like the first round of the playoffs?
For what?
The first round, some of the games were on TNT, right?
But they're ESPN Productions that were just on TNT.
Gotcha, okay.
So it was like, I think like Greg McElroy called one of the TNT
Yeah, you're games. Right, he did, yeah. Oh yeah, I think he was one of the guys ranting and raving.
He did the
Indiana.
Texas game, yeah. He, I think. Pretty sure.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big changes. Honestly, we see is I think
yeah.
we see Fox.
I thought you were saying that there's like a Big Ten, like there's the Big Ten bracket and then the SEC bracket.
No,
then...
but I think eventually, like that's where college football is headed. Is basically Fox and ESPN are pretty much two super conferences. One plays on Fox and one plays on ESPN, yeah. and the winner meets in the national championship game. And however they determine getting there, but like I think that's the long term, like where we're still headed.
I wonder if they kick teams out. That's the thing with like the Big Ten and the to a lesser degree the SEC. But it's like with the, if you are going to make the like super conferences where like these are the only two power conferences, like are you going to have Mississippi State in there? Are you going to have Northwestern in there?
I think you do relegation.
No, like, but no one signs up for relegation.
I don't know. Like the top of the conferences would. And that's all that really matters. But like,
I would. If I'm Tennessee, I wouldn't. Because if I'm Tennessee, if I'm Texas, if I'm Notre Dame, if I'm Michigan, I'm like, I know what happens. I go 5-7 for 3 years. All of a sudden, I'm playing. You know, in Division II.
Yeah, you're having to play. You know, Florida State.
Yeah, I hire a bad coach, and all of a sudden, I'm down here with Purdue.
Yeah, I see. Okay, this is how I think like the best way to do it would be like you get the by branding Big 12 and ACC as part of these, and those are the lower level conferences, right? And this now, hear me out.
I'm sure they'll love that. Okay, and cool, sweet.
The Big 12 and the ACC get one automatic bid to the college football playoff, even in relegation.
Okay.
But that team that gets
the relegation champs.
The relegation champs make the college football playoff and they move up.
And they get promoted.
The last place team in the SEC and the Big Ten moves down. I don't think they just kick out Northwestern.
Do three teams.
Yeah. I don't think they just kick out Northwestern. Like, or Rutgers or Maryland or Vanderbilt. Like, and they probably should, but.
Just be like, sorry, we're taking Florida State instead.
Specifically the Big Ten. Like, they do care about the academic branding of their conference outside of football. But like, I don't think they just kick people out. I've always wondered the same thing. Is like when do you just tell Rutgers to go away?
Like logically, like you're just like, okay, so if we're just gonna keep adding the bigger brands, at what point do we just
buy Rutgers, hello Miami.
Exactly.
Like I don't think they would kick out Northwestern, as ironic as it is. By Maryland, hello Clemson.
Well, because they have, Chicago's team,
Yeah, Chicago's Big Ten team.
And Rutgers, New York's team. They can't kick these teams
That's
out.
That's true. We'll take a call on this first. Rob, what's up, Rob? How's it going?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. I think the biggest disadvantage for the teams getting a bye is just the amount of time they have off. You look at the teams, I know you said Arizona State played well, but they came out super rusty, got down 14-0 to begin with. You look at the NFL, teams almost fear 2 weeks off, and we're giving these college teams almost a month. So that it's a disadvantage to be off when you have another team that played a game. Yeah, I know you come in having to play an extra game, so there's a chance of loss, but if you're good enough, you're going to win that game, and you get 10 days off before the quarterfinals. I think the biggest change that needs to be done is the second round should be on campus. You know, you get teams going into Autzen or Boise State or Tempe. There's just no advantage to getting the bye the way it's set up now.
Yeah, Rob, I think that's a good point because, like, I do think – I don't know how college football, like, if they care about the fans, honestly, but – it is a big ask for Penn State fans and Notre Dame fans. Not Penn State fans. Well, see, we didn't see any upsets happen this year. So, like, but let's say Indiana fans. Let's say Indiana would have beat Notre Dame and won the national championship this year or got to the national championship game. You would have asked them to go to four games. Like, you're going to ask Notre Dame fans to go to three games. Like, it's a big ask.
Even, like, going to, Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, Texas fan going to four games, like one of them is going to win four games.
Yeah.
I mean, you still are dealing with, like, the first one of them was 4 days before Christmas. And then you're asking them on New Year's to go to a neutral site. And then on January 10th, go to another neutral site. And then on January 20th, go to Atlanta. So, and I get it. Like, you're not. Obviously, I seriously doubt there's one person, other than Matthew McConaughey, there's not one person that's going to all these games.
No. Like,
these, and
especially when the tickets get more expensive every game.
And these are all giant fan bases where, like, Notre Dame has fans everywhere that they can fill a stadium with, or at least fill their allotment with. Same thing with Texas, same thing with Ohio State. I mean, maybe to a lesser degree, but same thing with Penn State. Like, these teams aren't hurting for rich alumni or even just t-shirt fans that want to buy tickets to these games. So that part I understand. I also just think, like, at what point do they do things for the best interest of the fans?
Yeah.
Like, at what point do they have they proven that they'll do that at any point?
So my only counter and then to the time off is, so Georgia played on December 7th in the SEC championship game. And then they played yesterday, so January 2nd. So that's, what, 23 days?
Sure.
Something like that. I mean, Notre Dame had 20 days off.
From
when they played USC on November 30th to when they played Indiana on December 20th. Like,
yeah, yeah. The teams that don't play
that don't play in the conference championship game, like, they're going to have 20 days off.
Ohio State and Tennessee both had 20 days off.
So, like, that's the only, like, it is more time between the conference championship game by a couple days and between, you know, then and then when you play your first round of the playoffs. Yeah, and then
it's like another week.
And you have a team that's coming in off a, you know, playing more recently. But whereas Indiana and Notre Dame is more neutral ground where neither team had played since the last weekend in November.
Yeah.
So that's my only counter to that is, like, we did see teams take large chunks of time off and have success. But, and that's where I think we also need, like, more.
How about you get to pick? Do you want a home game or do you want to buy? If you're a one seed, Oregon, you get to pick.
They're all going to take the bye.
Well, then what are we talking about?
That's the point. It's like everyone would take the bye. Everyone would take less games. Because if you look at what Penn State and Notre Dame are going through as they go into their third game of the college football playoff, the like four of the five best players on these two teams are hurt.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up too. It's like, okay, so.
Now they all got hurt in this last game, but.
Riley Mills didn't.
See, I don't put him in that top three of Notre Dame, so yes. So
okay.
The four best Notre Dame players are all hurt. And then Abdul Carter is hurt for Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the downside. I mean, look, Gunnar Stockton, like, this will not be the first time we see a Gunnar Stockton in the playoffs. Like, there will be injured quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Because of what happens in the first round.
And, or in the SEC title game, like, Georgia's the team that won the bye probably the most. They needed to teach a new quarterback how to play. They need that extra 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, overall, like, I think it's a good structure. It's not perfect, but it will never be perfect.
Yeah, we do the same thing with the baseball playoffs, where the Dodgers and the Braves lose in the first round after getting the bye, and they complain about it all offseason.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the Astros go to seven straight ALCSs while having a bye every single time. I think it's a loser's lament. I think it's when you lose, if you're a bye team and you lose, you go, oh, we weren't ready, and that's, you just move on.
Yeah, if they stuck with this format for like 3 or 4 years
and every time it was a sweep, then yes,
but like it's 1 year. Like,
going individually, it's Penn State beat Boise State. Texas beat Arizona State. Ohio State is playing like the best team ever right now, and they beat Oregon. And then you got Notre Dame
over Georgia,
who Notre Dame was favored.
Yes, by a point and a half
against the quarterback who never played.
Yes, like
when you say all five conference champions lost their first game, that's like, whoa, that's crazy. When you go game by game, you're like, well, of course Texas beat Clemson. Like, Clemson should have been in.
Yeah, and that's where I think it's more. I think the seeding is still the bigger question mark. I really do think that if they're going to try to pass the seeding change for next year, the only way that you can do it is if you guarantee every conference champion that doesn't get a bye a home playoff game. And that's complicated because, well, what if there's only two of the five?
Yeah.
I guess the other three could all host playoff games in the first round, but like.
This is where
you're going to be literally making up seeding to give teams home games.
You're still messing around with the seeding, just higher or lower in the bracket.
Yeah.
Like, the seeds are wrong.
Yeah.
Like, the rankings and the seedings do not match up right now. And what you're saying, like, if you're guaranteed these teams home games, then the seeding would still not match up.
And then I think, you know, honestly, like, even like the home games were awesome, but people want to focus on the buys and the time off and the seeding issues. But what if the bigger picture of the college football playoff is that these young quarterbacks are all terrible every year on the road in the first round of the playoffs? I mean, these guys, they all looked, well, besides Klubnik, Like,
yeah.
And the only guy who's like been there, done that. But the SMU quarterback was awful. O'Rourke from Indiana was terrible. I mean, they all looked overwhelmed by being there at home. So if you flipped it and it was, well, Quinn, like in Texas, like you didn't win your conference. So yes, you're the 5 seed, but you're going to Clemson.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't that balance things out a little bit? Like
it would balance it a good amount, because I told you before I think before the seed started, where I was like, a team that starts with a road game is like never winning, like never winning this thing, and probably only winning one game.
Yeah,
like they're never winning, they're never going on a run if you start on the road. And
unless you're the 9 seed,
9 seed playing the 8 and then the 1.
Like if Tennessee would have, like the way Oregon played, Tennessee might have won that game.
See, I think that's the way Ohio State played, because Ohio State did that to both of them.
No, I know, but like, I think Oregon also like got a little overrated as the season went on. But like, if you catch a 1 seed on an off day,
yeah,
like, I think you'd be more likely, because you're the 9 seed.
I mean, it'd have to be like, yes, it is. Yeah. Ohio State, who like really the reason they're 8 seed is because of how disappointing they were the entire season. Like, that's why.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be a good team that sucks for the entire season.
Totally agree. Follow-up from the beginning of yesterday's show. Apparently, in one of the Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes, Larry David specifically says that today is the last day you can wish someone a Happy New Year. I only know that because Adam Schefter just tweeted it, and I got a notification for it. So I figured I'd let the world know.
Thank you. Thank
Adam Schefter.
And yeah. I believe...
See, I think you have to be more... You have to carefully tweet more if you're a guy like Adam Schefter.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
Like, I don't need that tweet.
Yeah.
I now want to unsubscribe for your notifications.
Yes.
Like, I unsubscribe from Woj's immediately.
Well, of course.
Like, I don't even know if he's tweeted
since. I don't subscribe to any of them outside of, like, when I know that there's going to be a flurry of activity. So, like, the draft... basketball and football, because baseball, like, who knows how long I'll have to have Jeff Passan and John Heyman notifications on that.
Yeah.
Alex Bregman might not sign for 4 weeks or 4 months. So, really just like trade deadlines, start of free agency and drafts. And then I just go and turn them off.
Yeah. I need to start doing that, because like Schefter and Ian Rapoport.
Yeah. Schefter tweets about like college football. But he'll just tweet like a college football highlight.
The real problem is that like I don't need notifications at midnight about players that are not playing the next day.
Oh yeah,
because all of a sudden my phone just starts going off at like 12:30 at night on Saturdays, getting ready for the next day. Quick Texans update here before we go to break. Danico Autry is out officially for Sunday's game, as is Foley Fatukasi, as is Shaq Mason, as is Jeffrey Okuda. But Kamari Lassiter was a full participant in practice, so is Will Anderson. And Christian Harris is currently listed as questionable for this weekend's game. Drew Scruggs also a full participant in practice for the first time this week. So that offensive line of Tunsil, Howard, Patterson, Scruggs, Blake Fisher from left to right might be what we see actually this weekend for the Houston Texans. All right, who's in and who's out of the playoffs? Final Texans thoughts and a New Year's resolution for Houston sports fans that I have. That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Gallant and George here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe and Sean here with you today. Reminder that there is no trades, there is no change. Paul's back on Monday. Back to usual. Everyone will be back. Watch, someone's going to be sick on Monday now or something.
That's definitely what's happening. Yeah, definitely. Sick or travel, mishap, something.
Yeah, definitely. So now something's going to happen. They go, Joe, what are you talking about? All right, who do you think gets the final AFC spot? You think it's the Bengals, Broncos, or Dolphins? Tua's not playing this weekend, officially.
I think the Dolphins are definitely out.
Yeah, Dolphins are a no for me.
Because they need to win and also have like several things go their way.
Yeah.
I think it's most likely that the Bengals win. on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes down to Broncos, Broncos Chiefs. At the end of the day, I think the Broncos get it done. I think they get it done against the sitting everybody.
Have you seen this line?
Which one?
The Broncos Chiefs line?
Are they? No, I haven't seen
10.5.
Broncos 10.5. Yeah. Well, actually, we talked about it this morning on Del Show. We talked about a lot of them.
I'm probably going to take Carson Wentz and the Chiefs plus 10.5.
Oh yeah, yeah. We said it should have been like a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like a touchdown, I understand. 10.5? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not the biggest like Bo Nix guy. Like, I think he's had some good stuff this year, but I think like when you actually like look at what's transpired, some of it's just a ton of deep shots and where he's missing half of them. For the benefit of our entertainment, I really need the Chiefs to win this weekend. And I need the Bengals to win. Because I need Burrow Allen in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, that would be incredible to have something of like that magnitude in the first round of the playoffs. Like, it's way better than anything else we would get.
I was going to say, because all the other matchups that we're looking at are going to be, I don't want to call them, like, bad. The AFC. All right, I'm not going to call them, like, bad or uninteresting.
I like Chargers-Ravens.
Yeah, Chargers-Ravens is good.
But then I'm going to have to hear about the Harbaugh.
Yes, and then the Texans-Steelers, we have to be interested, but I'm not that interested. There's two teams that aren't going to win their next game. And then it would be, if it's not the Bengals, it's going to be Broncos and Bills. That to me is not that interesting. But Bills Bengals is like the marquee matchup that I'm not going to say that super wild card weekend needs, because the NFL, like, they don't really need any of these to be good matchups.
Yeah,
but it is the, like, that's the main card, and I think that the Harbaugh Bowl is a good undercard to that.
I think Jordan Love and the Packers versus Jalen Hurts and the Eagles is pretty good, too.
That is good. That's the rematch of the Brazil game.
Yeah, assuming that that's how it plays out. That, you know,
the NFC is a little tougher, that I don't have it like as, you know, locked in, where I feel like I know pretty much what's going on in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, Washington has the tiebreaker over Green Bay based on win percentage in conference games.
Okay.
So, and it's, you would need Washington to lose to Dallas and then Green Bay to win.
Beat the Packers. Or beat the Bears. Yeah.
To then move into the rights, to move into the sixth spot. But so, and I think, I don't know if Jayden Daniels is going to play, or like, is this Marcus Mariota time versus Cooper Rush or Trey Lance?
Like, if you're the Commanders, do you care about who you play in the playoffs?
No, I just want to get Jayden Daniels. They're healthy.
I agree.
Like, whether you play, you play the Rams or the Eagles, like, I don't think it really matters. I
want to play the Rams more, but there is a little bit of like division stuff with the Eagles.
Yeah, for sure. Packers, Eagles is good. Commanders, Rams is pretty. It's really the 4-5 matchups that I think are the. I don't know, actually. Tampa Bay, Minnesota could be fun, or Tampa Bay.
Atlanta. I was thinking Atlanta. Either the Lions or the Vikings. That's gonna be a bloodbath.
Yeah, if Atlanta gets into the playoffs, it's gonna be sad. Tampa Bay at 9-7 has control of their destiny. They can score at least. Like,
yeah,
you know,
that's
like
true.
Buccaneers, that's Lions true. Would be the over/under might be 60 in that game, because
that'd probably be like the Monday night game or something.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, they put Tampa Bay on the Monday night game before. It's 2-3-1, which it's still not the best week. The best weekend is the following one, because we're gonna have Notre Dame, Penn State on Thursday, Texas, Ohio State on Friday. And then we're going to have divisional round playoff games on Saturday and Sunday.
No, isn't that the wild card? I thought that was the wild card.
Oh, no, you're right. It is the wild card.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of later on. Yeah. Yeah. No, so it's games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. So the following week, it'll be playoff games on Saturday, Sunday, leading to the national championship game on the 20th.
Yes. You're right.
Yeah, on the 18th, 19th, the
20th. It'll be the divisional and then the final.
Yeah. So that one will be very fun, at least. But yeah, I think the Broncos get it, unfortunately, but I'm really hoping they find a way to lose that game and the Bengals get in.
The Chiefs won the last game of the season last year against the Chargers when they sat everybody. The thing is, the Chargers had nothing to play for. They ended up getting the fifth pick in the draft. So they haven't actually been in this situation where they do beat a team that has something to play for while they have nothing to play for. So I tend to agree with you that I wouldn't be surprised if it's a close game. You know, if you're sitting there and there's points in the game where we're like, are the Broncos actually going to blow this against Carson Wentz? But ultimately, I think they do enough to get it done.
Minnesota or Detroit for the one seed? I'm taking Minnesota.
I think I'm taking Minnesota, too.
Detroit's got, they're just so banged up on defense.
Like, that's what it comes down
to. And I think right now the best coach in that matchup is Kevin O'Connell. I mean, it's so impressive what he's done. He is the latest line of reasons why I hate the Bears. Didn't even interview him. But, like, I think Minnesota wins this game. I love Detroit's story, but I'm definitely going with Minnesota.
Yeah, Vikings, they're just playing good, right? Or playing better, I would say, right now. Some of that is just they're healthier than the Lions. And, yeah, really like their defense. Like, I feel like their defense doesn't – I mean, the story is kind of Justin Jefferson and then Sam Darnold, how awesome he's been. Brian Flores, he's coaching them up on the defense side. It's a lot of good coaches in that matchup.
Things I learned, you know, because as I've talked about with my friends about like wanting the Bears to hire Ben Johnson, the thing that always would come up is like, yeah, hire, you know, like Robert Saleh or steal Brian Flores. Didn't know Brian Flores fired Ben Johnson.
Brian Flores fired Ben Johnson when he was at the Dolphins?
Yep. Ben Johnson was a wide receiver coach, and Brian Flores fired him when he took over.
I'm not sure if I have Brian Flores to be a head coach.
I'm not sure I do either.
I think if I'm – I love him as a defensive coordinator. It seems like he doesn't really know offense that well.
Or totally agree.
Doesn't know how to manage the offensive side of the ball whatsoever.
Have you seen what the line's gone up to for the Browns game where Bailey Zappe will be the starting quarterback?
Is it 20 and a half?
It's 20.
20.
Okay. Open it. I cannot believe that we have a 20-point line.
20 points for it's insane.
Boise
State was 11-point underdog against Penn State.
I mean.
Like, this is twice as bad.
It sucks for Baltimore because, like, they have to play. They have to play their guys.
If I'm Baltimore, we have to play our guys for the first three quarters.
Yeah.
I'm going in there. I mean, they're a team that last time we saw them, they went to NRG Stadium and they could have pulled. I mean, did they pull their guy? I stopped watching. I don't know if they pulled their guys or
honestly,
not.
I have no idea. I know.
I watched the first drive of the third quarter and then I looked to my parents and I was like, you know, you guys don't have to. If you think I need to watch this, I don't. We can turn this off.
I didn't watch. I was doing a show the next day.
Okay.
We had like a family party we were going to with my wife's side. So we're there. We're in Tomball. So we're leaving League City at Tomball. Game is starting. So I'm like, I'm not listening. I'm like, I'm going to watch. Like, I get there. I immediately check the score and it's 17-2. And I was like, yeah, I don't really want to watch this. And then one of her cousins came up to me and he's like, 24-7 or 24-2, and I was like, definitely not watching this. I was like, Jeremy can carry the load the next day. Like, Jeremy can talk all he wants about this game. Like, I have zero interest in watching that game. I didn't care for wanting to see Beyonce. The only thing I wanted to see was eventually the HD clip of Cal and Hannah coming out in the car.
Yeah, that was honestly probably the highlight for me of the game was just the moment that I saw Hannah and Cal being in any way involved in a Beyonce halftime performance. I was like, what? I had to explain to my parents who the owner of the Texans are because, of course, they don't know what Cal McNair looks like on site.
Well, as they shouldn't.
Yeah, I was like, you should not be upset about this.
Yeah, no, it was who gets fired by Monday, do you think? So we got three openings right now.
Doug Peterson.
Doug Peterson, so that makes four.
Let me open up the...
I don't think McCarthy, I don't think he has a contract, but...
He is currently a lame duck.
I'm going to say one of Antonio Pierce or Gerard Mayo. I'm going to take like a cheating way out of this one. But
Shane Steichen, does he get fired?
Yes.
I think they clean house. I think Ballard.
I think they're all gone. Yeah. I think there's really no other way. Everything that's coming out with the Bengals, I mean, with the Colts right now... Anthony Richardson doesn't show up on time. You've got reports about how players are going to tell Richardson, like, I signed here because of you. I believed in you. He can't walk. He's crawling because of his back issue.
That's crazy.
Like, does he have a degenerative back issue they just, like, didn't catch?
Yeah, that's one of those where you read it and you're like, wait, more about this, please? Like,
yeah, what, like, what the... he's crawling around his house, like, and then playing.
Is it just,
and...
like, how much pain he's in?
Yeah. Like, it. Yeah, I they have to clean house. They have to. There's no circumstance in which they don't.
Giants also.
Yeah, I think Daboll gets fired. Even though I saw the report today was that John Mara, the owner, is going to meet with both Daboll and Joe Shane, the GM, individually, discuss their individual plans on how they would fix the Giants. And it might be whichever person's plan is better keeps their job.
I don't hate that, but I'd fire.
I don't hate it either.
I don't,
but like.
I don't hate that.
Just like, but just fire both of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I do think Ryan Poles gets fired by Monday.
Okay, so you do think Poles gets fired?
I do think he gets fired because I think the Bears know they're going to lose out on Ben Johnson for sure. Which the reports out of Jacksonville today are is that he wants the Jags job, which that sucks for the Texans because if he fixes Trevor Lawrence, yikes. But. I do think they fired Ryan Poles because I think what you're seeing happening is there's a reporter in Tom Pelissero who is very much in the pocket of Ryan Poles. And then you have a reporter in like Albert Breer who is more talking in the pocket of Kevin Warren. And Kevin Warren's going to win that power struggle.
I think it's president of the Chicago
Bears. President of the Chicago Bears. The man who tried to ruin football who runs the Bears, yes. He killed football, Sean.
Yes, no. Justin Fields and...
He killed football, and Justin Fields and John Harbaugh saved it.
And Trevor Lawrence had to pick it outside of his window.
Yeah, they signed a petition because he canceled the Big Ten because of a pandemic that wasn't... whatever. Like, the SEC was playing. Everyone else was playing.
They're playing in full... Or not Big full stadiums.
So Big Ten can't play. And Justin Fields saved the day. Probably why he's not the Bears quarterback anymore, thankfully.
Well, there's other reasons. There's other reasons.
I do no. As soon as Kevin Warren was hired as the Bears president, I was like, oh, Justin's gone. Like, there's no way, like, this kid who, like...
after 3 years I know, of like, Justin Fields playing quarterback.
I know. But I think it's also why Harbaugh's not the coach either, because they
that,
were...
Great. I believe that.
Yeah, a huge part that. Of it. All right, we'll get to garbage time. I think Paul might be upset with me for this one. Because I found this story, like, a week ago. And I made sure to save it to when Jeremy was not with us when we did Garbage Time. We was like split between Garbage Time and Car Wreck of the Day. So we split between it. And I was like, I probably should save this for when Paul's back. I'm hoping Paul just finds it on his own so we can talk about it again. Because it's going to be like, we're going to start Garbage Time with a good one, I think. Next, here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul and Joe.
Final segment of the show here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Paul Gallant will be back with us on Monday. You think he's thrilled to come back from Mexico and watch a Texans game? I would be. I'm so ready for this game to be over. I don't know if it means, like, the NFL got it wrong with the expanded week. Because I don't know if I would feel any differently if this was week 17. I'll tell you, though, right now, I hate week 18. It's a total waste of time. I know there's like, three important games. You have games with 20-point spreads.
Yeah.
Like, that's – those games, yes, I know, math, I get it. Could have happened last week. I'd rather the playoffs just be here closer.
They probably – some of them would have still happened last week. But when you do add games, it does make it to where teams clinch earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That's also math, where teams will just clinch. You know, in baseball, teams will clinch with 15 games left.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really, like, love the idea of having to have, like, start-sit conversations all the time. Like, having to have them before Christmas.
Yeah, I was going to say, when we're doing the show from Nick's place, we're already like, when do you play these guys against Baltimore?
Yeah, and that's why, like, it's like, like, maybe that's why you do, like, break away from the current playoff format, is because if all these divisions are locked up, then, like, what are you playing for?
We're like, I still think you need, the best thing about the NFL playoffs is that how much the divisions matter to me. I do agree. I think that's like that's what they get right the most.
For sure. Like the Texans would, you know, be playing for a playoff spot this weekend.
I mean, yeah. Between large.
Yeah, the Broncos. The Broncos, the Dolphins, Bengals, and Texans game would actually matter so much
but
this
like,
weekend.
You know, in the NBA, like just try to sit there and think about like what division, like who's in the division with the Rockets? I guess it's easy because there's three teams in the state.
But yeah, and then I'm guessing the one right next to us is the other one's New Orleans.
Yes.
Yeah, I get.
And then there's one more, but who cares?
Memphis?
Yes.
Ooh.
Because Oklahoma City is in the Northwest.
Oh, makes so much sense.
Because they were in Seattle and they never bothered to change them back.
Ah, gotcha. That makes sense. All right, let's do a little garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
A couple other questions here that we'll get to in garbage time along with one story. Sean, question for both of us here. Go to order Taco Bell.
Oh, Taco Bell? I really like to change things up a lot.
See,
I like to spray the board.
I love the cheesy. I like the steak quesadilla or chicken quesadillas.
Okay.
I like the Crunchwrap Supreme.
Yes. That's in my rotation.
And then I also have like a, I don't want to spend a lot of money, but I'm going to be very happy, like $8 meal. That's all things from like the dollar menu.
Okay.
Just a variety of things.
Yeah. I'll do the grilled cheese burrito. Mm. I'll do the beefy five-layer Crunchwrap. I'll do that burrito. I'll do the Crunchwrap Doritos Locos tacos every once in a while. So, yeah, normally I just get like two or three of those and maybe some of the Fiesta potatoes.
Love those.
And call it a day. Baja Blast, call it a day.
I'm not a Baja guy. I go regular Mountain Dew.
Really?
I don't know why. Baja Blast, like, never got it. I never got
I like Baja.
Never got it done. I've always been like.
I think that's my favorite Mountain Dew variant. That's another one. That might be my Mount Rushmore plus one soon, is Mountain Dew flavors.
Code Red?
Probably not on the list. Probably not on the list.
What was the orange one?
Yeah, I would have to consult.
Can I tell you something?
There's Baja. There's another Baja one that was even better.
When I didn't drink in high school, so I started drinking in college. So I really didn't know what I was doing. And I didn't really like the taste of alcohol very much. So everything I drank was like kind of fruity. And all I drank for about a year and a half was Bacardi Apple with the white Mountain Dew. Incredible. We used to crush that stuff all the time. That's all we would drink. Also because we could put it in our fridge and like if the RA come, like we would never get caught.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's good. Garbage time. Story of the year. Tanya Harding meets the animal world. 17-year-old poisoned a goat in a competition. I don't really quite understand like why the need to do this. I know like you're trying to win a competition, but like
because that goat was better.
But this happened at Vista Ridge High School.
Oh. This is like local. I saw Texas cheerleader and Texas is a big state.
No, this is that's Austin, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, so it's, I think it's Austin, like a suburb of Austin. But so she originally denied like trying to kill this other goat, but eventually admitted to the cops that she injected the white and brown farm animal with pesticide at the school's barn facility, leaving him bellowing in pain before dying in a 15-year-old's arm. This is terrible. You should be laughing. I'm laughing because you're laughing. Garbage time of the year, Sean. You laughing at this?
It's well written. It's well written. The leaving him bellowing in pain before dying in his 15-year-old owner's arm.
She apparently Googled how bleach kills a goat.
It does. Oh,
wait, if goats inject bleach, do they die?
That's
and poisoning pets. What should you know?
Why are you laughing? poisoning pets. What
the
should
Google
I know?
Google searches are great.
What should I know about poisoning pets?
I mean, that's
bleach
like
works.
Like,
okay.
It's like I watched this documentary. And it's like someone Googled like how to get rid of a body, or like how long before a body stinks. It's like, yeah, that person probably committed the murder.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she's facing.
Is this? I'm guessing
a $10,000 fine and up to 2 years in jail.
Wow, 2 years in jail.
I mean, it's animal cruelty.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. If Michael Vick had to go to jail, I think the 17-year-old girl has to go to jail too. Is this like FFA related? I'm guessing.
Okay. A local contest entered by the school FFA have a cash prize up to $50 with the largest.
With $50.
With the larger state fairs having a grand prize of $30,000.
Okay.
Yeah, this is FFA related.
Okay. $50 is not, like the bleach probably costs what, 20?
Yeah.
Enough. How much? Let me see. How much bleach do you need to kill a goat?
Don't Google that. Not that our internet works well enough to probably be able to
I won't have
look at it.
I'll have an answer by the time the killer bee starts.
Yeah. Man.
FFA, they don't play.
They don't play, man.
They don't play around. I had cousins that were in FFA, and yeah, they had to like raise rabbits and stuff. Pretty gross stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, good first garbage time of the year. I hope Paul finds that one.
Yeah.
We might just have to bring it up again so I can get his take on it. So.
Yeah, maybe we just see if it's in the rundown and then just add it.
All right. Well, I'm going to try to get out of here as quickly as possible so the bees don't complain about us getting out late to start the new year. So goodbye. Talk to you Monday.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.